So there are certain sections of the Torah that when we try to learn them, there's no way you can understand them if you try to just do it in a pshat way. It's just not possible. Now you talk about the Meragim, for example. I mean, that's going to be our discussion tonight. There's no way to understand what was going on with the Meragim if you try to understand it in just a superficial way. We're talking about the greatest Jews of their time. Talking about the Dor Dei. People saw Kadosh Baruch Hu face to face. You know, there's a lot of examples in the Torah of things like Chet HaEgel, for example. There's no way, you can't understand Chet HaEgel without delving into some of the deeper Sarim. It's just not possible, right? Or the whole incident of Kuzbi and Zimri. Zimri ben Salu was a Nasi. We're talking about huge tzaddikim. Picture the biggest tzaddik you know, right? The Nativ guys are picturing, Rav Nevinsaw, I would imagine, right? Maybe Rav Erman. Give him a shout out. He listens to this year sometimes. Right? Kota, right? But whatever, picture a huge tzaddik, and they don't even come close to any of these people. Right, if you can imagine such a thing. Zimri ben Salu, who's, he's being involved with this non-Jewish woman in public, and we can't even begin to imagine, we can't begin to grasp and understand these things. So when it comes to the Meragim, it's exactly the same thing. It says, the Torah says, Kulam Anashim, they were righteous people, they were Roshe B'nai Israel, Kol Nasi Bahem. We're talking about the massive tzaddikim. So again, I want to try to maybe shed a little light on the whole Meragim situation and try to understand, how can we try to grasp what was going on, what was their mistake, and how obviously they had to have had very lofty kavanas. There's no way that they just messed up. So let's try to understand a little bit. There's a great line from the Ishbitzer Rebbe. The Ishbitzer Rebbe was always malamid tzchus on people. He always tried to find the positive in any situation, by the Meraglim, by Chet HaEgel. So the Ishbitzer Rebbe used to say, he says, just to have a sense of who these people are, he says, their averos are so holy that it's written in the Torah. Right? The Chet HaEgel is written in the Torah. The Meraglim is written in the Torah. Their averos are so holy that it's part of Torah. And if a single letter of the story of Chet HaEgel is missing, it's impossible to say for Torah. He says, what about us? He says, we're so low that our mitzvahs don't even make it into the Torah. There are various in the Torah, our mitzvahs don't even make it into the Torah. So again, it just sheds a little perspective on, what we're dealing with, who we're dealing with. Okay, so the big question is the Meraglim this week, right? How do we make sense of the Meraglim? How do we understand, what was their kavana? Why didn't they trust Hashem to take them into Eretz Yisrael? So the answer brought down by the Baal HaTanya in the Likutei Torah is that the Meraglim didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael because they didn't want the lifestyle of Eretz Yisrael. What was the lifestyle of Eretz Yisrael? Up to this point, what were the Meraglim doing? They were sitting in the Anane HaKavod. They were learning Torah 24 hours a day. They were eating the man. Right? They were drinking from the Be'er. Their clothing didn't get worn out. I'm saying it was the ultimate kol lifestyle. Everything was provided for you. And they would just sit there and enjoy the Ziva Shechina. And learn Torah and talk Torah and get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu and Davin. That was their entire life. And now they're being told, you have to go into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to have to plant, and you're going to have to dig, right? Like a bunch of, kibbutzniks, planting trees and farming the land. And they said, why would we want to do that? Why would we want to give up this awesome opportunity to sit and just have total, closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Why would we want to trade that for something so physical? But that was their mistake. And they thought, what does the pasuk say? They said, Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz that's ocheles yoshva. Right? What does it mean? The Baal HaTanya says it means that the artsius, the gashmius, the aretz, is ocheles yoshva. It swallows up, the yoshva, I guess because the yoshva are those who sit and learn Torah. Right? But the people, even if one could, theoretically say that I can make gashmius holy. But the Maisa, what they saw when they came to visit the land, they saw that it's a place where people get caught up in gashmius. And they lose all of their religious values. So they were terrified to go to such a place. And it seems like an obvious cheshbon. Why would I want to give up this awesome opportunity to sit and just spend all day and all night with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? But it was a mistake. And the mistake was that it's not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. And this is really the Iker lesson. This is the tachlis of a Jew in this world. To realize that as Jews, we try to elevate the regular. We try to involve ourselves with physicality. The beauty of Judaism is that we can take something physical and we can make it holy. Right? And that's dafka the thing that separates Judaism from all the other religions. Take Christianity, for example. Right? So the Pope is not married. In case anyone didn't know. Right? The Pope is not married. Well, why isn't the Pope married? If he's such a kadosh v'tahor, why isn't he married? So he thinks, well, now I'm a very holy guy, so therefore I'm porish from Nashim completely. Right? I'm going to separate myself from women 100%. right? By us, it's the exact opposite. The first mitzvah of the Torah is Pur Ravu. To dafka involve yourself in Gashmias, to be involved in an act, a maisa, right, between a husband and a wife, which is a very physical act, but to do it in the holiest of ways. It's the foundation of the Torah. It's the first mitzvah of the Torah. Right, what about the Muslims? The Muslims, I went to secular college for one semester. So those of you who are thinking about doing that, I don't recommend it, but fine. So watch what I say, I'm being recorded. So I had a Muslim roommate, believe it or not.
Really?
A guy from Queens. He wasn't so hardcore, although he prayed many times a day. He had a mat and everything. Whatever, he started watching Negovaster because of me. It was a whole interesting interesting experience. I kind of helped him like flip out a little bit in college. But what did you say?
He frumed out
a little bit. So it's very interesting. But one of the things that he told me, a halacha by the Muslims, is that they don't drink wine. Why don't they drink wine? Because they hold that wine is, you know, off limits to Mashiach comes. It's not, you know, because think about it, wine is a very, you know, isha sota, you know, wine, you get yourself in trouble when you drink wine, Chazal say. Right? So wine is potentially a very dangerous thing. By us, it's just the opposite. Comes Shabbos, comes the holiest day of the week, we bring it in dock with a cup of wine. Right? While many of our non-Jewish coworkers are out, you know, partying and drinking in the bars and using wine in an unholy way, we dafka take wine, which can be used in such a physical and low and disgusting way, and we make it holy. That's how we bring in Shabbos. So we bring in Shabbos Kodesh. So that's the thing that's unique about the Jewish people. And the Torah always highlights this idea that as Jews, physicality is very much a part of our Judaism. Right? Take, for example, the Shlosh Regalim. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, why is it, you look by the Shlosh Regalim, he writes in Parsha Mishpatim, he says, by the Shlosh Regalim, it's always described in terms of what's going on in the ground, right? You know, we're going to have a moed, why? Because we're planting, because we're harvesting. That's what the holidays are about, that we plant, we made a little money, right? The crops grew. That's the best we got for a holiday. I mean, where's the spiritual element to it? He says, no, it's dafka through this that we see, you know, what Judaism's all about. The fact that, yeah, we plant and we harvest and we do all these things, but the way that we do it is totally different. There's halachos, there's all seder zvam to teach you every detail of planting is a mitzvah. Can be used in a holy way. And Rabbi Yaakov writes an amazing line. He writes in Parshat Mishpatim. He says, by us there's no difference. Ein shum chiluk bein avodas Hashem al yedei achila u bein avodas Hashem al yedei tefila. There's no difference whether you serve God through eating or whether you serve God through davening. You know, people think davening is holy, learning is holy, right? Doing mitzvahs are holy, right? He says eating is holy. It's the exact same thing. Sleeping is holy. It's the exact same thing. That's the thing that separates us from all the other religions of the world. And that's really the, you know, the backbone of what Judaism is all about. To be able to makadesh the mundane and the physical. It's such a central idea to Judaism, this idea that on Shavuos we bring the Karban Shtei Alechem, right? You would think that on Shavuos, on the day we got the Torah, it would be the most spiritual day. We'd only bring Karban Olos, which are offered completely to God, right? And what do we bring in reality? We bring the Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem is bread and it's sheep, but the sheep are not ma'akif. Meaning technically the bread is all you need, and the bread is eaten by the Kohanim. So you would think it's a little strange on the holiest day of the year, maybe, right? On the day we get the Torah, you would think I'd want to do something that's just pure spirituality. I'd have no interest in doing something physical, right? Not to focus on the eating, but it's dafka the thing that we highlight. Non-Jews are only allowed to bring a karbanola. They're not allowed to bring a shlamim. And the Mepharshim explain, you know why? Because they don't understand how to be Mekadesh Achila. They don't understand a Karban Shalom where a human being eats from it. They understand you put something on an altar and you burn it up to God. That they understand. But for a Jew, a human being to eat and to make that a holy thing, they can't grasp that concept. That's why Dafka, after Yisrael becomes religious, he converts to Judaism, he starts to bring a Karban Shalom to show that now I understand what it means to be a Jew. That I can be Mekadesh the mundane. And there's a beautiful line from the Kli Chemda. Kli Chemda was one of the students of the Avnei Nezer, one of the top students of the Avnei Nezer. So in the Kli Chemda, Parshas Vayera, is an unbelievable line. He says, "Shayidei zeh she'oskim b'Torah, when we study Torah, va'osim kol inyanei ha'gashmiyam l'shem mitzvah, and we take gashmiyas things and we do it for a mitzvah, niskadshu advar ma'gashmiyam v'nasim l'inyanim ruchniyam. We take those physical things and it's no longer a davar gashmi, it becomes completely ruchni. It becomes a spiritual matter." And he says that's what it means when the Mishnah says, Rasa Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakos es Yisrael. Hashem wanted Zakos. What does Zakos mean? So it means to give merit to the Jews. But Zach also means what? Hashem and Zai Zach. Right? We want to purify ourselves, our physical selves. So what did Hashem do? Hirba lahem Torah mitzvos. But he reads it, listen to how he reads it. V'zeh hirba lahem Torah mitzvos. Hashem takes, He gives us the opportunity to take the lahem, the you, the physical, and turn it into Torah and mitzvahs. Right? That's how a person's been zakeh himself. That's how a person refines himself and purifies himself. Shekol in yani Yisrael b'olam hazeh, yesh b'am Torah mitzvahs l'zakos hasam. Right? To take the lahem and to make it into a davar kadosh. There's an amazing story that Rav Dessler writes in Michlev Me'aliyah in the first volume. Rav Dessler says that when his great-grandmother, his name was Esther, got married to the great Rav Yisrael Salanter, so they made a deal in the Yichud room. Right after they got married, Yisrael Salanter sat her down and he said, listen, she didn't know what's going on, let's talk business. He says, this is the deal. We're going to make a deal to make sure that we never have a fight in our entire marriage. Here's the deal. When it comes to physical matters, you get the final say on everything. Right? If we're deciding, you know, what color we should paint the house, your call. What color the sheets on the bed should be, your call. What color the blinds should be, all the things like that, gashmias things, it's all yours. He says, all spiritual matters, I ask you to defer to me. So Rav Dessler writes that his great-grandmother, it was said that at the end of the day, she said, Rav Yisrael Salanter decided all matters. Right? He had the final say on everything. Why? Because everything, every decision became a spiritual matter by him. There wasn't such thing as, it's not just painting the color of the wall. You know, if I'm going to paint the blue, so maybe blue is going to, like this chelas domo v'yam, yam domo, right? It's going to help me think of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So every decision at the end of the day became a spiritual matter. And he had the final say on everything. And again, that was the mistake of the Meraglim. The Meraglim didn't understand this concept. They thought it'd be better to live a purely spiritual existence and never engage physicality and not be bothered with it. And that again was their terrible mistake. Rabbi Yisachar Dov of Belz, Belz Rebbe, takes it one step further. And he asks the following question. He says, if you look in the Pesukim by the Meraglim, so it's very strange. The children of Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh, are broken up. Right? Normally they're put together. They're broken up by Zvulun and Binyamin. And he wants to understand, why is it that all of a sudden stuck in between the Bnei Yosef are Zvulun and Binyamin. So he says the following idea. He says, you have to understand. He says the idea from the Baal HaTanya. The mistake of the Meraglim was they failed to appreciate the regular, the physical. And he says, who of all people represents this idea of being Mekadesh, the mundane, of taking something physical and making it holy? It's Yosef HaTzadik. Right? Yosef HaTzadik is called a Tzadik. He says, we quote the line from the Zohar. He says, the Zohar says, the definition of a Tzadik is a person, the Achid B'Shamayah V'Ara. A person who knows how to connect the Achid. He brings a oneness to heaven and earth. He knows how to take what's up there, what's down here, and bring them together. That was Yosef HaTzadik. Just to explain a little bit before we go on in the Belzer Rebbe's Pshat and answer his question, we say every day in davening, in Pesukei Zimran, when we take out the Torah, L'cha Hashem, pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, L'cha Hashem, Agdula, Gevura, Tferes, Aneitza, Chol, Kikov, Hashemayim, Varetz, right? We say those Pesukim. And in those Pesukim, we're alluding to seven traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you've noticed, when we count Sfira each week, right, Chesed Sheva Chesed, Chesed Sheva Gevura, each week we're working on a different attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those seven attributes are hinted to in that pasuk. Most of them are not hints, they're said openly. Gevura, Tiferet, Netzachot, those are exactly the seven traits of Hashem. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzachot, Yisod, Malchus. Most of them are explicit in the pasuk itself. Those seven traits that we highlight during Sfira are hinted to, or correspond to the seven Ushpizin that we invite on Sukkot. So for example, Chesed is Avraham, Gvura is Yitzchak, right, and so forth and so on, going down the list. Who's number six? Who's Yesod? Foundation, whatever that means, we have to leave that for a moment. But who is Yesod of the sixth attribute of Hashem? It's Yosef HaTzadik, right? And we see that hinted to in the Pasuk. The Pasuk initially says, Tzadik Yesod Olam. So Yosef is Tzadik, right? Yosef is this attribute of Yesod, and Yosef is the one who knows how to involve himself with Olam. He knows how to involve the Gashmi and make it holy, to make it into a Davar Ruchni. So now let's go back to the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim and match it up. So it says, L'cha Hashem HaGedula. So Gedula is code, it's a code word for Chesed. Why that is, if you want to know, we'll talk later. Gevura is Gevura. Tiferes is Tiferes. Netzach is Netzach. Hod is Hod. What's the code word in the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim for Yosef, or for Yesod? Kikol b'Shamayim u'v'aretz, right? Because Yosef is exactly that idea, to bring together Shamayim v'aretz. It happens to be that the Sfarim point out that Kikol is Gematria Yesod. So you see a hint even in the word Kikol to Yesod. But for Shamayim v'aretz, Yosef is the one who brings together Shamayim v'aretz. He knows how to take something physical and make it holy. And where was the ultimate example where Yosef did this? Right? Eshes Potiphar. Ishes Potiphar, right? It was the ultimate nisayon in the ultimate gashmius thing, in the most gashmi place in the world, Erev HaTa'aretz, Mitzrayim, a disgusting place of Gilui Arayos. And Yosef said, I'm not going to allow myself to degrade this holy act. I'm not going to allow it to just become something that's done in an unholy way. And because of that, Yosef is given a bracha. He's given an extra letter to his name, the Gemara says. The Gemara in Sota says, Amar Bishimon Chasida, Yosef Shekid Hashem Shemayim B'Seser, Yosef honored Hashem in private, right? He could have done it, no one was there. No one was stopping him. He had a beautiful woman who's been seducing him for over a year. The Midrashim have crazy things about what she was trying to do to him. And she even tried to say, it's L'Shem Shemayim, I see in the heavens, we're meant to be together. Right? Crazy techniques. And Yosef was a handsome guy, and she was a beautiful woman. And they were all alone, she waited for this ripe moment, and he was on the verge of sin. And he says, I can't do this. And because of that, the Gemara says, Zachar v'osifu lo os achas mishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He got an extra letter from Hashem's name. What was the extra letter that was given to him? The Gemara says, Eidus be Yosef. Right, we find the tale that Yosef gets that extra letter, hey. Why the extra letter, hey? What's the significance of that letter, hey? Why is his name changed from Yosef to Yosef? What does that mean? So the Gemara Menachos says that when Hashem created the world, Ki b'ka Hashem tzor olamim. Hashem created the world with ka, with a yud and a hey. He created Olam Haba with the letter yud, and he created Olam Haza with the letter hey. So why is Yosef, who has the letter yud, Zocha to get the letter hey? Right, to bring this together, Yehosef, a Yud and Hay together, because he was the person who brought together heaven and earth. He earned the Hay. He understood what Olam Hazeh is all about. He understood what the Gashmius is all about and how it can be used in the right way. A Russia doesn't understand that. Lo Amesim, right, Yehaluka. A Russia doesn't understand Ka. He doesn't understand how to bring together Yud and Hay. He doesn't understand the praise of Yud and Hay. A Russia understands there's holy and then there's, you know, regular. By Jews, there's no holy in the dragon. Everything's holy. Every opportunity that we have, every action that we do, whether it's eating, sleeping, anything, it can be used in a holy way. And we see that a Rasha doesn't understand that. We say at the Seder, by the Rasha, what does Rasha say? Maha voda zos lachem. What is this avoda of lachem? Of you, right? He doesn't understand physicality. It doesn't make any sense. Again, if you want to talk spirituality, he understands that. You want to sit around and, you know, philosophize about God, that'll do. But if you want to say, you know, let's sit together and eat a bowl of chulin, and let's figure out how that's a holy thing, or let's play a game of basketball and figure out how that's the holy thing. He has no grasp of what that is. Lo Mason Yahaluka. So now we can go back to the Belzer Rebbe. So the Belzer Rebbe's question was what? Right? Why are the two sons of Yosef split up by Zvulun and Binyamin? So he says, very simple. If Yosef represents this idea of combining heaven and earth, of combining the physical and the spiritual, so Zvulun and Binyamin also have the same trait. Right? Zvulun, we know, was the greatest businessman of all time. Why? Because every single dollar that he ever earned, every bit of gashmius that came his way, he channeled it towards Yisachar, towards Yisachar's learning. Every single dollar was put to Torah. So here's a person, he was wealthy, he had great Olam Hazeh, but he used every bit of it for Torah. And Binyamin's the same thing. The Zohar says that if Yosef is the higher level tzaddik, Binyamin's the lower level tzaddik. And again, tzaddik means a person who combines Shemayim of arts. And to think about it a little bit, Belzer Rebbe doesn't explain how we see that in Binyamin's life, where he has this, you know, bringing together of heaven and earth. But apparently Binyamin also has this attribute of tzaddik. So therefore, when the Meragim are going out, Moshe tries to couple together those who, so to speak, should be able to grasp this idea of what it means to be a tzaddik. Again, unfortunately, the Meragim fail. But luckily, not all the Meragim fail. Right? Which of the Meragim pass the test? Who is going to be the one to take them into Eretz Yisrael? The one who understands more than anyone else the whole concept of Eretz Yisrael to be Mekadesh, the physical, to make Eretz Yisrael a holy place, right? Yoshua. Yoshua. Why Yoshua? So it's very simple now, right? Yoshua understands this message of uniting Yud and Hey, right? What do we see by Yoshua? How is Yoshua able to stay strong? Because when Yoshua is heading out, Vayikra Moshe Lo'Shea Ben Nun Yehoshua, he's given the hay. What does Rashi say? Right? His spiral of love, Ka Yoshiach HaMeyatzos Meraglim. That Ka, Yud and Hey. Right? You should be saved from the technique of the Meraglim because you understand Yud and Hey. I'm giving you a bracha that you should grasp. You should understand what it means. When you see the massive, you know, physical fruit of Eretz Yisrael, understand that it's pure Kedusha. When you eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, it's pure, you're ingesting Kedusha. The fruit of Eretz Yisrael have halachos to it. It's not a regular apple. It's a holy thing. Fine. Let's just try to connect this idea to maybe the 3 weeks. We're still a little bit away, but this Shabbos already, since everyone's heading off to camp or wherever else everyone's going to be for the summer, many of us are, it's probably the last year before the summer, so let's try to connect this maybe to the whole avoda of the summer and the 3 weeks in particular. So 3 weeks are obviously a very difficult time for Klal Yisrael. I think we all understand that. Particularly the 9 days, which is Dafka when we're remembering this Chet, the Chet of Meraglim. Right, the beginning of the 3 weeks is more Keneged the Chet Egel. The 9 days is Keneged Chet of Meraglim, which shows that Chet of Meraglim is even a worse Avera than Chet Egel, which was Avodah Zara. Because Chet of Meraglim, based on what we're saying, may in some ways be even worse than Avodah Zara. It's the ultimate rejection of Judaism and God. So the term that we use for the 3 weeks is the Beinah Mitzarim. Right? Where does the term come from? The Pasuk in Eicha says, Kol Rod Fel, Hisigua Beinah Mitzarim. Anyone, right, all of our enemies who chased after us, we were trapped Beinah Mitzarim. What does it mean, Beinah Mitzarim? In narrow places. We had nowhere to turn. Right? It's describing a very horrific feeling of your enemies closing in, and the Jewish people, they were trying to hide, and there was just nowhere to go. Beinah Mitzarim, completely trapped. And the whole reason we feel so trapped is because Hashem is very angry at us. This whole, the Tammuz and Av are the worst months of the year. If you look in the Sefer B'nai Yisachar, which always talks about, you know, the deep message behind each month, so he says every month has a shame of Hashem that corresponds to the month. Right? You're supposed to, on a deep level, you're supposed to have Kavanah for it when you say Hashem's name that month, you're supposed to picture that arrangement of the Yudke Vavke for that month, 12 different ways you could rearrange the letters, we spoke about it sometimes in the past. Right? Tammuz, the month of Tammuz that we're going to bring in next week, this coming week, the name of Hashem for the month of Tammuz is Hey Vav Hey Yud. Hashem's name completely backwards. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says in Tammuz, I'm totally not interested in you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'm furious. I'm not interested in your Avodas Hashem. I don't want your tefillah. A Jew has to be careful what he does during these times. They're dangerous times, right? They're physically dangerous times for us as Jews. And we feel this terrible pressure, this awkward relationship between us and God. And the walls are, you know, closing in on us. And our job, what we're trying to do, hopefully what we're davening to do, is to be able to change that feeling from what? From being Beinah Mitzarim, to kind of break out of that into a Nachal Abli Mitzarim. Right? It's an expression that Chazal uses in the Gemara on Shabbos, that a person who's Ma'anig Shabbos, a person who understands Shabbos, who gives honor to Shabbos, and celebrates Shabbos in the proper way, he's Zocha to a Nachal Abli Mitzarim, a portion without any walls. Right, that's what we're trying to do. We want to get out of this Beinah Mitzarim and turn it into Mashiach. Basically, that's what the 3 weeks are going to become, to the ultimate in the ultimate in expansion. The Arizal says that whenever we're at a Mitzvah, whenever you're at a border, whenever there's a struggle and everyone's in this cramped area, so everyone's fighting for property. And you see it in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone's fighting over Eretz Yisrael. It's a tiny piece of land, and everyone wants to push the borders. And every little bit that we, push back the Palestinians, so then we've taken away from their territory. And if they push in, they take away from us. The Arizal says all battles of Kedusha versus, the dark forces, the Sitra Achra, are borderline battles. That means every bit of Kedusha that we add, we take away from the Yitzhara. We destroy a bit of him. And every time he wins a battle, it's not just, we're not fighting over neutral territory. We're fighting over Kedusha versus Tumah. And that's the fight. We're fighting on those borders. So the question is like this. If during the Beinah Mitzarim we're trying to push the borders, we're feeling trapped and we want to expand our borders to a Nachal Abli Mitzarim, so how do we do it? Rav Shlomo Fisher, in his Drashos Beis Yishai, says, how is it possible to expand the borders? We have 613 mitzvos. Mitzvos Derabanan a little bit, right? But there's a concept of Baal Tosis. You can't add mitzvos. I can't decide, I'm going to expand the borders of Judaism by deciding that I'm going to wear, tefillin on my head and on my arm and on my leg. Right? Why not? Right, head to toe. I'll get myself covered from top down. You can't do that. That's not a mitzvah. It's an avera. Right. So what can we do to expand the borders? So he says, you know what the answer is? He says the area that we can expand and we can make infinitely deeper than it is naturally is the area of the whole, the mundane. When we take the regular and when we breathe more kavanah into it and put more neshama into it, so then we're able to expand the borders. And he says there's an amazing halacha in Shulchan Aruch. This is a halacha. This is not a Musar Sefer. I'm not reading from Orach HaTzaddikim. I'm going to read you halacha in Shulchan Aruch Simen Reish Lamed Aleph. Listen to this. V'chein b'chol ma sheyena ba'olam hazeh, every bit of pleasure a person gets in this world, lo yichavin lahanaso, he shouldn't do it for his own pleasure. El avodas habor yizbarach, every pleasure, whether it's eating, sleeping, playing sports, whatever it is, you should do it as a form of service of God. Like the pasuk says in Mishlei, "Bechol derachecha," in all of your ways, regardless of what you're doing, and everything you're doing, da'ayu, know Hashem, see Hashem. V'amru chachamim kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim. Everything you do, like it says in Pirkei Avos, should be for the sake of heaven. Sha'afilu dvarim shel reshus. Even the things that look like a dvar reshus, they look optional. They look like they're neutral territory. Kigon ha'achila, v'ashtia, v'ha'alicha, v'yeshiva, v'akima, v'atashmish, v'asicha, v'chol sarchi gufcha. Right? Eating, drinking, sleeping, marital intimacy. Right? Everything. Sitting, standing, everything. Talking. Kol sarchi aguf. It should be what? You kulam lavodet baracha. It should all be to serve God. Or at least something that's a stepping stone to the service of God. And then he writes at the end of the siman, if you see something that's going to benefit you as a religious Jew, then do it. It's a very simple cheshbon. All you have to ask yourself, does what I'm about to do help me or not? Right? And it could be anything, and the answer could be yes and no. Playing basketball could be the most gavaldic mitzvah in the world. Or it could be the biggest waste of time. It depends what your kavanah is. If I do it to strengthen myself, to serve my Creator, if I do it to take a break, to be able to get back to learning and davening better afterwards, every second, every jump shot's a mitzvah. But if you do it just because, you know, you're being lazy, and you should really be learning now, and you're taking away from that time, so then it's a big waste of time. It's Bittul Torah, one of the worst of eras out there. So he says, just make that ask yourself that very simple but difficult question. Does this help me as a Jew or does this hurt me as a Jew? And he says, if you do that, and if a person does this, he serves God constantly. And this was Yeshua. Yeshua understood the message of Echol Derechecha Deheu. He understood that everything could be holy. He understood Eretz Yisrael is a place that's the most holy place in the world. Because it's a place that we have to work in the dirt. And it's a place that we have to build houses and be involved in the physical. And Rav Pinchas Friedman, a Belzer Chassid from Eretz Yisrael, he's a big tzaddik, he writes on the Parsha every week. So last year, Parsha Shlach, he wrote a beautiful, unbelievable remez to this idea. He says, Yehoshua, the name Yehoshua is Gematria B'chol Derechecha De'eyu. 391, exactly. Because Yehoshua understood this halacha, B'chol Derechecha De'eyu. In everything we do, we can serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if you go back to the halacha, and we'll finish up in 2 minutes, if you go back to the halacha, and you look at the things in the halacha, every single one of them, says the Rishon Rebbe, has a Yud and a Hay in it. Right? Achila has a yod in the hay in it. Shtia has a yod in the hay in it. Halicha has a yod in the hay in it. Yeshiva has a yod in the hay in it. Kima has a yod in the hay in it. Tashmish, because Shulchan Aruch speaking B'lashon, right? B'lashon Naki, speaking a little more sensitive, right? But the rabbinic term for marital intimacy is Bia, has a yod in the hay in it. Sicha has a yod in the hay in it. Everything that we do physical has a yod in the hay, because it brings together Shemayim V'aretz. As opposed to what? What's the Vav Hei? The Vav Hei things, Torah, Mitzvah, Avoda, right? Those types of things, the Vav Hei are those things that are more, you know, that's the higher level stuff. But our Avoda in this world is the Avoda of the Yud and the Hei. And that's what the Gemara says in Erevin. That Miyom Shechara Beis HaMikdash, all the more so in our times. Because our tefillah is not as good as it was in the early generations. Our learning is not as good as it was in the early generations. What can we do? What options do we have available? We could be we have a lot more physical than the earlier generations. Right, a lot more recreational activities in the earlier generations. So, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Da'ola Olam Sheyishtamish B'Shtei Osios. From the time the Mikdash was destroyed, Hashem's name has been reduced from Yudkei Vavkei to 2 letters. What 2 letters? Shenamar Kol Neshamat Tahal Ka, Haluka. Right? In our times, all we have is Yudanei. That's our avoda. That's the ikar avoda of a Jew b'zman hazeh. That's the ikar avoda of a Jew during the summer in the 3 weeks. To elevate the Yudanei. And again, this may be the only way we can approach Hashem during the 3 weeks. Because again, Hashem, you know, if our tefillah and our Torah is not that good all year round, especially the 3 weeks, there's nothing to talk about. Hashem says, I'm not interested. I don't want your tefillah, I don't want your Torah. And I learned this message from my daughter last year in camp. I remember there was one Shabbos, it was Erev Shabbos actually, it was Friday afternoon, and my daughter, whatever, she wasn't listening so much to my wife and myself. So my wife said to her, she said, you know, if you don't listen, then you're not going to get any treats this Shabbos. You know, delicious, whatever, watermelon and cake in camp, you know, all this good stuff. And she didn't take the message to heart, and she kept messing around. My wife said, you know what, I'm sorry, there's no treats this Shabbos. So my daughter says to my wife, in all seriousness, she looks at her and says, can I still have, like, chicken? Can I have, like, challah? Can I have regular food? Like, do I have to starve, like, over Shabbos? Is that the punishment? So I was like, no, of course you can have, you know, regular stuff. You can't have the treats. You can't have the special stuff. That's the 3 weeks, right? Hashem says, forget the special stuff. There's no special, there's no treats. There's no Torah, there's no tefillah, none of the good stuff, right? But Hashem's still going to let us, He's going to let us live. He's going to let us, hopefully, He's going to let us function as human beings. We're still going to eat, we're still going to sleep. Right? That much He's not going to take away from us. And that's how we can sneak in through the back door to have a relationship with Hashem at a time where He says, forget it, get out of here. When He turns His name around, hey Vav, hey you, I don't want to talk to you. I want nothing to do with you. So Mirtz Hashem, we should take this message to heart. We should be zocha to really, you know, to be mekayim that pasuk in a very new way. Last summer, I thought of a chiddush in the pasuk, and I think you'll all be makabel it as emes. What was the pasuk? Why is it called the Beinu Mitzarim? Kol rodfeha hisigua Beinu Mitzarim. Right? What's kol rodfeha hisigua? Just break up the pasuk a little differently, and you'll see a beautiful thing. Kol rodef yodhei. Anyone who chases and pursues the yodhei, hisigua, hisigvavhei. If you chase the yodhei, you get the vavhei. What's the vavhei? The vavhei, the missing letters of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's throne. Ki yad kes ka. Hashem said that a malik's blocking out the vav and the hey. Right? That, and Hashem's name is not going to be complete until we get rid of a malik. A malik doesn't understand this concept. They're the ultimate Rishon. They don't understand being Makadish the physical. They make fun of Bris Milah. They think it's ridiculous. Right? They think the whole concept of bringing Kedusha to the guf is a ridiculous thing. But kol rodfeha hisigua. If you chase after yodhei, you're zocha, Mir Hashem to the vafe. So like I said, you know, Mir Hashem, we should take the message of the Meraglim to heart, and we should be zocha to see, you know, the Nachama Mir Hashem very soon, and we should be zocha that mina meitzar karasika. From the meitzar, we should get out with the ka, with the yod and the hay, and we should be zocha to see the Beis Mikdash from here, be amen, amen.